Mexico has been in the news a lot of late, and not for good reasons. Two major earthquakes have shaken the landscape, killing people and destroying buildings. In better times, Mexico is a place many of us go to visit and surely will again. It's a big country, and there are places that are geared to tourists with the sandy beaches and the palm trees and all of that. Our first guest today leads tours to Mexico, but not the touristy kind. Eric Mindling maintains a home in Ashland and has lived in Oaxaca, Mexico for a quarter century. He's a tour leader, photographer, author, and the founder of Traditions Mexico, which advertises culturally intimate experiences for travelers. He came onto our radar because he's speaking tonight at 6 o'clock at the OSU Extension Auditorium in Central Point about what he does, and he's hosting a TEDx talk in New York City next month as well. Eric Mindling, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for having me here, and good morning, Icy Rogue Valley.
This is a bit of a change for you, I can imagine, from spending time in Oaxaca.
An uncomfortable change.
So you really, in a sense, straddle the two worlds because of your connection to Oaxaca. What got you? You went to Mexico, I guess, the first time when you were 14 years old?
Yeah, I went there on a trip with my stepfather, and I'd never been outside of Nevada and California. And we had a week. We crossed the border in Tijuana. And when we crossed the border, my eyes literally opened like saucers because this place that I was seeing, which was Tijuana, mind you, was absolutely fascinating to me. The streety life, all that was going on around. And then we kept going. Got on a second-class bus and rode deeper and deeper into the country. And that experience opened my eyes to a world that I didn't know existed. And there was something about that that resonated with some part of my soul in a way that I didn't understand, but that I got that it mattered. And after that, I kept looking for ways to get back to Mexico.
All right. So there was a resolution then. I've got to get back here at some point.
Yes.
And did it take a while? I understand you took a job out of college working for a company, working in Mexico.
Yeah, when I was in college, I had a travel bug in me. I wanted to live somewhere else in a different culture. Mexico was there. We did a semester abroad program and out of Humboldt State University, and this was, I don't know, 1990 maybe. That semester in Mexico was in Oaxaca, which at that point in my life I couldn't pronounce. I didn't know where it was.
Oaxaca,
something like that. And learned Spanish, and in that time period, I made a connection, and I'll keep this story short, but I made a connection that allowed me to come back to Oaxaca when I graduated 2 years later. So I graduated in 1992. The connection was with a company in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and they needed a pottery buyer, somebody to buy indigenous pottery from communities there and send it back to their store in Santa Fe. So I studied art in school. I was really into pottery. I was really into Mexico. I hadn't even imagined that a job like that could exist. For me, it was this job made in heaven. Like if you were a football player and you want to get drafted out of college into the NFL, for a pottery Mexico nerd like me, that was my NFL. And so I was hired and paid to go back to Oaxaca and travel around to indigenous villages and buy pottery. And I had died and gone to heaven.
And so how did you get acclimated to the landscape in terms of, I mean, I imagine by then your Spanish was getting at least pretty good. Maybe I'm just jumping ahead here, but.
Your imagination.
How did you get to know the places and where to look and where to find people and the pottery?
This is a great question. There was no map. There was no information about where it was. And so it was exploration. And I was 23 then and had about 2 weeks a month of work. And then just free time to explore. And all I wanted to do was do that. So I'd get on buses and travel out to places asking about where pottery was made. I'd go to regional markets. I'd ask health workers who were coming back in from rural Oaxaca, hey, when you were out there doing whatever you were doing, did you see any potters out there? And bit by bit, I started learning about where these communities were. These are places that have been doing pottery for 3,000 years. These are places that are deeply, deeply rooted, right? We don't have a context really anymore for this in the U.S. And while I was finding my way around there, I was also acclimating my stomach.
I understand there was some of that, yeah.
There was some of that, and I used to have a fragile stomach, and the first year in Oaxaca cured me of that. I got 800 variants of Montezuma's revenge and amoebic dysentery and Hep A and you name it, because I ate everything that was offered to me and thought, well, this job is wonderful, but it's going to kill me. And after about a year of that, I built immunity. I mean, now I think of it as my stomach just completely lined with scar tissue, and nothing hurts me at all anymore, which is fabulous.
Eric Mindling's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He splits his time between Ashland and Oaxaca, Mexico, and he leads tours back there through a company called Traditions Mexico. He also takes many photographs, which are works of art, and you can talk with him more here on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Oaxaca is how different is it from the parts of Mexico that the tourists go to? For that matter, do you ever go to the parts of Mexico that the tourists go to?
A lot of tourists come to Oaxaca. Central Oaxaca, the city of Oaxaca, is a mecca for cultural travelers. It's a center of traditional art and contemporary art. And indigenous villages, communities around there that are fascinating. And that's why people come to Oaxaca. But it's not the kind of Mexico I think that you're referring to, which is more of the sun and sand Mexico, although we do have some beach towns there. But it's a fascinating surprise. And the reason I stayed there was because my eyes were open to a world that was rich and round and deep. And I had this little stereotypical view of Mexico when I first went there. You know, this is a country where they only speak Spanish and they eat chimichangas. And I went to Oaxaca and started learning that there are dozens of indigenous languages spoken there, and there's all kinds of amazing food. And of course, I'm simplifying here, but the richness and the depth of the culture there, as compared to the stories that I learned in the United States about it, said, holy cow, how fascinating. And this is why I began to do tourism in the mid-90s. Like, wow, if I'm so blown away by this, I bet other people would also find it really interesting. And that has been true. So it's a long ways from sort of, you know, the beach resort scene of Mexico and the Margaritaville, Mexico. And it's in the thick of a very real and rich and very unexpected for most of us cultural realm.
Was it unexpected for you, even though you'd had some exposure to Oaxaca before you started working there?
Well, When I first went there, I didn't know what I was going into. It's very different than where I went on that first trip, which was northern Mexico. And northern Mexico and southern Mexico are also very different. Northern Mexico is sort of Mexican cowboy culture. And a lot of what we think about Mexico, of course, boiled down in stereotype, comes from northern Mexico. Southern Mexico is old indigenous Mexico. We think about Aztec and Maya. The old civilizations grew up down there, and that's still there. Right, I mean, the city of Oaxaca is on the above the city is Monte Albán, which is a Zapotec kingdom that collapsed a long time ago. But Oaxaca Valley is still Zapotec; the language is still spoken there. So the descendants of the people who built those places continue to carry on their lives there. Traditional farming, making tortillas, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
And so it's not just hundreds of years; we're talking thousands of years.
Thousands of years,
still, yeah,
thousands of years of continuity of ways of doing things that in some senses haven't changed significantly. Like, you know, I'm talking about these potters. The potters continue to make their pottery the way they did 3,000 years ago. The tortilla was invented in Oaxaca. And they know this because the oldest comal, which is what you make tortillas on, which is made out of clay, wasn't found outside of Oaxaca, right? Well, they're still making tortillas that way. By the way, the best tortillas ever, southern Mexico, Oaxaca. There's a plug for all you tortilla makers in Oaxaca.
And wheat tortillas, I was reading, because
corn. Mostly corn. Traditionally, mm-hmm. tortillas are corn. There's a region of Oaxaca, high and cold, where they also make some wheat tortillas. Mm-hmm.
So I have to ask, though, given what's been going on lately in Mexico in the news, what you're hearing from friends, loved ones, neighborhoods there about what's been happening in Oaxaca with the earthquake.
A lot of different stories, as you can imagine, because Oaxaca is a big region. And so in Oaxaca City, where I'm from, where I live, a lot of broken pottery, for example, a lot of stuff thrown off the shelves, some houses that have been cracked by the first of the two earthquakes we've had. People in the region called the Isthmus that we work with, and who I am in touch with on Facebook, are showing me pictures of houses around there that have fallen down, afraid to go into their houses and sleep at night. You know, last week I was texting with somebody there in a village called Santa Rosa, and she said, oh my gosh, we just had another repeat. You know, a 5.0, but it keeps your nerves jangled. And then in the other extreme of the state, another old-time friend of mine said, I didn't feel the earthquake at all. So a whole range of things going on there. But all of us, myself included, and I'm here in Ashland right now, two big earthquakes in a row in Mexico, and the devastation that's happened as a result, it's like having an earthquake in your heart. Feel shaken, feel concerned, worried about people, saddened. And at the same time, I'm watching what's happening and the way people have responded to the earthquake in Oaxaca and the one further north right now is really uplifting. Everybody putting down their day-to-day jobs and their differences and coming out and helping.
So just really coming together, not even paying attention to the usual divisions that people place upon themselves. This is where humans, we need help. Let's do this.
All hands on deck. And to me, I mean, it's so heartwarming and moving. And I wish I was there. I wish I was there pulling bricks off a downed building or collecting food or whatever that needs to be taken to people in those villages that have been knocked down.
So how much time do you spend there versus what you spend in Ashland?
These days it's 6 months there, 6 months here.
Okay, in a row, in a block, and you're not ping-ponging back.
Yeah, about this time of year when fall starts becoming frosty, I get the heck out.
Not much for scraping cars, I guess.
No.
So when we talked about starting tours down there, to start Traditions Mexico, which I guess you started, 5 years after you moved there?
Yeah, something like that, 1996.
Was there any hesitation? I mean, obviously, this is a love that you have for this place that I can clearly see that you want to share with people, but was there any trepidation about, wait a minute, if I bring tourists in, this place could become more touristy, that kind of thing?
No, actually. My main trepidation when I started my tours is I had no idea what I was doing. I have since learned. But I'm introducing people to friends of mine. The tours that the first tours I did were with traditional families who I knew very well. And so we talked about it a lot before we began doing it. Who am I bringing? Why are we coming down? And what's going to happen? We don't run very many tours a year. We might run a dozen, 15 tours, and each of those tours might have 8 or 10 people. And we don't go to a lot of places on a repeated basis. So there's no doubt an impact having visitors come into your house. And if we had a group of visitors visiting a household in a village once a week, every week, it changes a lot of things about the social dynamics in that village. We visit from time to time. People love having us visit, and we're welcomed back. And so, and at the same time, I need to say that the people we're visiting have cell phones, are on Facebook, are surfing the internet, and have family that's in LA. You know, so it's not, on the one hand, it's deeply rooted, and on the other hand, it's got a foot in the modern world. So we show up and we're welcomed and they're interested in having us there. And it's unusual for a group of foreigners to be there, but it doesn't change the world dramatically or drastically.
We were talking to Eric Mindling here on the Jefferson Exchange. He maintains a home in Ashland and has lived in Mexico for a quarter century in Oaxaca and leads tours back there through his company Traditions Mexico. He's also a photographer and has brought back some wonderful images of Oaxaca over the years. He'll be speaking tonight at 6 at the OSU Extension Auditorium in Central Point and giving a TEDx talk in New York City at the Fashion Institute of Technology next month. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Lynn in Jacksonville. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi. Thanks, Jeffrey. Good to speak with you.
Well, thanks. Good to have you.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to say that I am a fan of Eric's out here in Jacksonville. I'm pretty sure he doesn't remember me, but he came out to our Jacksonville Applegate Rotary, did an awesome presentation, and I bought his beautiful book, and it's in my little waiting area in my office, and just wanted him to know that there's so many people that have enjoyed it, and it's beautiful, and I'd love to see more people in this valley have the opportunity to share that gorgeous book. So just a little plug for the book and for a Rotary.
Okay, and Lynn, thanks good to hear your voice again.
Yeah.
Lynn and I used to serve together on a board for a nonprofit, so it's good to hear her voice. So tell us about the book. This is your first book?
First, good morning, Lynn, and thanks for calling up. The last time I got up this early, I'm not an early riser, was to go and do the Rotary Jacksonville talk. But that was in the summertime, so it was warm out. The book's called Oaxaca Stories in Cloth. Lynn, thank you for the plug. And it is the second book I've done. The first one's very idiosyncratic. It's an in-depth look at traditional indigenous potters. And, you know, there's 100 people in this planet who think it's the best book on earth. And I'm one of them. And then a lot of other people are like, what's this about? Oaxaca Stories in Cloth was a 2-year-long project and really based on photography. But it's a series of portraits of traditional indigenous people of Oaxaca and their dress ways. So in different communities, people dress in a way that's specific to that village. And around the world, this used to be common. It's been a long time since that's been so. In Oaxaca, that's still the case. So photographing people in the way they dress and making, you know, the portrait that you shared on the website is the kind of portraiture I did there.
Was the photography something you had learned in college or had for years? I mean, because it's very accomplished work. I mean, there's a lot of painstaking detail clearly that goes into the making of these photographs.
Yeah, I grew up with a photographer. My father was a photographer, and so I always grew up with cameras around. And it's been a hobby. And at a certain point, maybe 8 years ago, I decided to start taking that hobby seriously. So I'm very much self-taught from then forward. This is the digital era, learning how to use off-camera flash, as we call it, Photoshop. It's amazing what we can do now. And then figuring out how to take that kind of photography into traditional communities where people aren't used to being photographed and doing photo shoots, like setting up lights. And my models are the person in the community who's dressing in the old style. That process was pretty fascinating.
That was a question I had, actually, because the picture we ended up using, and I was telling you before we got on the air that I felt guilty cropping anybody else's work who's clearly gone to such work to create the photograph, but I chose a photograph of a woman making tortillas in traditional dress and could just tell that a lot of work went into it on your end. But then I also did wonder about the efforts to make sure that the person who you're photographing is at ease with the camera and the lights and the things going flash in her face.
Yeah, it's creating access, and sometimes I jokingly say that I have a PhD in rural Oaxacan communications. It's been 25 years of working in traditional villages respectfully and with great fascination. And so I know how to ask, I know how to speak, I know how to make the jokes, and I'm really interested in that world that I'm in. And I know what the formal channels are to go through to make it all right to be there the way that I am there when I'm doing photography. Because that's an invasive act of going into somebody's world like that. And in all of those villages, first step was to talk to town hall. Those villages are very insular. They're like village states. And talk to town hall and describe what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. This is a book about traditional culture. This is a book about who you are in these communities and a way of recognizing what really is disappearing, because most of the old dressways are disappearing. And we want to capture this, you know, in the nick of time before it's gone. And that's now. And then through the town hall, through the town authorities, being introduced to people in that community and going through the same conversation so that they know what I'm about, why I'm there. And so there's that basis of trust, and showing them other examples of my work, like, I'll make you look like this. Oh, okay.
And so it loosens up the energy there. You get the pathway in at that point.
Get the pathway in, and it's very different than street photography, journalism. I'm doing photo shoots, so once the doorway's open, so to speak, we spend an hour or 2 hours in that household, getting to know them a little bit, taking time to make those photos. You know, the photo that you're referring to, I spent 45 minutes setting up that photo based on what she was doing anyway, but to set it up and light it and get her feeling relaxed and natural is a whole process. And that's part of the art of why those pictures have the impact they have. You know, the people are not, there's a presence, there's a genuine presence that comes through because the time is taken to elicit that from them.
Eric Mindling is the founder of Traditions Mexico. He's our guest here on the Jefferson Exchange. He'll be speaking tonight at 6 at the Extension Auditorium in Central Point on Hanley Road. Here's a call from, let's see, we got Mark in Redding on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning. I'm wondering, how much was Oaxaca affected by the dumping of U.S. corn into Mexico at the beginning of NAFTA, and it ended up putting a lot of subsistence corn farmers out of work, and they had to come up here to find employment?
All right, excellent question, because actually you would have started in Oaxaca about the time that NAFTA went into effect.
Yeah, that's right. And it's corn and beans both have been a big issue there in a whole variety of ways. Definitely affected, and that's ongoing. And now with GMO corns coming in, Oaxaca is the birthplace of corn on planet Earth. It's got the greatest genetic diversity of corn on the planet, and so it's also our seed bank. As corns become more and more monocropped, in Oaxaca, that diversity is really important for defense against disease. So U.S. corns, developmental programs that came into Oaxaca in the 60s or 70s through the Green Revolution, replacing all sorts of the traditional variants, the land race variants, with modified strains have reduced that diversity. Certainly, the change of price, which he's referring to as a result of NAFTA, is one of the big pieces that has put traditional farmers out of business. It's part of what drives immigration to the U.S. Corn farming is central to people's lives, and it has been for thousands of years. And so when that piece of life is taken out, when you can't survive on that anymore, then the base structure of what a community functions on is taken out. And then you've got to find work elsewhere. So the impact is hard to overstate.
You mentioned people coming to the United States, and I did want to ask about your perceptions as somebody who spends half the year in Mexico and half the year in the United States about the last 2 years and the arguments about Mexico as a land of good, honest people versus a land of lawbreakers who just want to take over the United States, et cetera. What you make of all this as somebody who lives in both places?
I wish that all of us could travel down to Mexico and spend some time there. It's understandable that we have a misunderstanding of Mexico because we've had stories told here in the U.S. about Mexico for as long as we've been neighbors, which has been a long time. And one of the things I love being able to do through my tour company is that people get a glimpse at what's more real about Mexico, who the people are, how they live. And you can't help but come away from having an experience in Mexico and having a very changed perception of what that country is and who those people are. Mind changing and mindset changing, and you know, now more than ever, I think that's a very important thing.
Are people in Mexico aware of what the discussions are here as much as people here are?
Probably more so, really? Because it directly impacts their lives in an enormous way. I mean, the talk about the wall, the talk about the Dreamers, the talk about returning immigrants, et cetera, et cetera. So many people have families up here in the U.S. And a lot of people's livelihoods depends in part on those families who are in the U.S. So they're looking at their lives in those communities being affected. They're looking at very close relatives who are up here in the U.S. Being pushed back by that.
Okay, a lot of Mexico to think about at any given time, and more so a bit lately. But you're focusing on being able to take groups of people back there and show them a real traditional Mexico.
Yes, that's right.
The book, the company actually is called Traditions Mexico. That is the creation of Eric Mendling, who's been living in Oaxaca since 1992. He'll be speaking tonight again at 6 at the OSU Extension Auditorium in Central Point. That's on Hanley Road, sort of between Central Point and Jacksonville. Pleasure to meet you. Thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Wonderful to be here. I'm going to go find something warm.
Right.